Amen. If you would please turn to the book of Hebrews this evening, Hebrews, third chapter, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to spend a few moments reflecting on the faithfulness of God, illustrated within the life and garments of the high priest. The high priest of the Old Testament foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we bless you, Lord Jesus, that you have gone to prepare a place for us, a mansion. And one day you will return to collect your people. And we bless you and praise you for that blessed hope. And until that glorious day, I pray that you would help us in the power of your Spirit to be a faithful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. The office of the high priest within the Old Testament tabernacle and temple foreshadowed our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is our great high priest who shed his own blood for our sins, providing redemption once and for all. And here in Hebrews chapter 3, the author makes reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest. And it makes reference to the fact that as our high priest, he was found faithful. He was found dependable, trustworthy, walking in obedience to God the Father. And then also in verse 2, the Bible teaches us that God commends the faithfulness of Moses. What an honour to be regarded as being faithful alongside the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So I'd like to spend a few moments this evening and just make reference to the faithfulness of God. We serve a faithful God. And as we consider the office of the high priest within the Old Testament scriptures, and as that high priest fulfilled their given specific responsibilities, the high priest of the Old Testament scriptures foreshadowed our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the author to the book of Hebrews commends him and refers to him as being faithful. Jesus Christ was faithful, said the author of the book of Hebrews. Great is God's faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, as Jeremiah wept over the ruins of Jerusalem, he still cried out, "Great is thy faithfulness." That would have taken some faith. As he noted, as he reflected upon his beloved city in ruins, he still looked beyond the ruins and he looked to a God that was faithful. God that could do something above and beyond these ruins. Great is thy faithfulness. I'd like for us to consider our Lord Jesus Christ as our faithful high priest this evening. And may this encourage us to be faithful. Because God is faithful. And God has called us to fulfill his will as priests of God. Note then Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4. In fact, we'll read verses 4 to 6. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. It reads, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. So note there a reference to the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that washed us clean from our sins with his own precious blood. And when that high priest went into the holies of holies, he had with him not his blood, the blood of bulls and goats, but Jesus Christ, our great high priest, shed his blood to provide redemption for you and I. He's found faithful. He is our faithful witness. And he has made us in Christ kings and priests unto God. So you and I, as blood-bought children of God, are considered kings and priests of God. Our Lord Jesus was faithful. And may this encourage us, as he's redeemed, to be a faithful people. Let's look at the high priestly garment once again this evening. And note how we can be faithful as we note the faithfulness of God illustrated with each of these pieces of garment. We won't take time to go back to Exodus chapter 28. That's where we were last week. Exodus 28 and Exodus chapter 39 gives us the details to the high priestly garment. But we'll certainly make reference, but we'll mainly stay within the New Testament and draw the applications. So first and foremost this evening, I'd like for us to note once again the ephod, or the main apron that was on the exterior of the high priest. It was the most costly and beautiful piece of garment that the high priest wore. And this is simply because it was interwoven with slices of gold. Gold was compacted and then sliced very thinly. And then gold was threaded throughout the garment. So this ephod was covered in gold lining. It was the most expensive piece of garment that the high priest wore, and it was on the exterior. Gold is often a picture of our God's divinity. His deity is evident within the gold on this high priestly garment. Faithfulness is an attribute of God. He can never be unfaithful. God is faithful. He is God, and he will always be faithful. And as we consider that gold lining within that ephod that reminds us of the divinity of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, didn't come from the sons of Aaron. He came from the line of Melchizedek, having no beginning of days or end of days. Eternal, one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. His divinity is evident within that gold lining. Gold within the scriptures is often a illustration, a picture, a reflection of divinity. And as we consider our God and His many great attributes, we ought to take comfort in the fact that God is a faithful God. Faithfulness is an attribute of God. In 2 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. In verse number 13. It reads, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is always true to his word. This verse was such an encouragement to me as a young Christian in those early days in which I was still, in many ways, very immature. I'd placed my faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour, but because of my lack of growth in those early days, I did question from time to time whether I was really saved. And I still remember the day when I read this passage of Scripture. Even though we believe not, he abideth faithful. God will be true to his word. And I was comforted by the fact that I confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. I remember the day so clearly, and I remember the assurance, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, the Spirit, ministered to my heart and said, hey, you have been unfaithful, but God is faithful. Even though we believe not, God is faithful. God can never be unfaithful. God is always faithful. That's part of his attribute, or one of his many attributes. And therefore he calls us to be a faithful people. As it reads in 2 Corinthians 4:1, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. And as a royal priesthood, God has called us to be faithful in our worship, faithful in our service. We are called upon to be faithful. Faithfulness is a mark of godliness. And the Bible teaches us in Titus 2:12 that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And we are to live righteously, soberly, and godly. Faithfulness is a mark of godliness. God is faithful. That's an attribute of God. And those pieces of gold lining throughout that ephod remind us of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ and remind us of the fact that our God, our eternal God, is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, at times we are all unfaithful, but praise be to God. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I'm reminded of that within the gold lining. Then within that ephod, last week we made reference to the fact that upon the shoulder blades, there were two stones, one on either end. And the Bible makes reference to that in Exodus chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And on either shoulder, there were six of the names of the tribes of Israel on the one side, and then the other six names of the tribes of Israel were on the other side. And these two onyx stones rested upon the shoulder, upon the shoulders of the ephod. See, God upholds us with his might. God upholds us with his shoulders, so to speak. God is all powerful. And we have access to his power. He cares for us. And he carries us. Because God is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness, but God is faithful. He will always be faithful to us. He can never be unfaithful. And in his faithfulness, he carries us by his power. Our faithful God is an all-powerful God. And we need to be faithful in resting in his power to work within us and through us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible teaches us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God had His people resting on His faithfulness. God who is faithful, God who is powerful, and that high priest, as he bore the 12 tribes upon his shoulders, was reflecting the fact that it is God that carries the people of God. It is God that protects the people of God. God is powerful, and God's shoulders are broad enough to meet your needs. God's shoulders are broad enough to meet my needs. God is a powerful God. And we need to rest in His power. We need to place our faith not in what we can do, but in what God can do. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of power. Power of a sound mind. Praise be to God for His power. We need to be faithfully resting in His power. I'm afraid that we, from time to time, fail to reflect upon the fact that our faithful God is an all-powerful God. And He's got broad shoulders. He's got very broad shoulders. And He's there to carry us. And He's there to empower us for His service. So may God help us to be faithful in worship, faithful in our service, but faithful in resting in His power. Resting in His strength, not in our own, because we will fail in and of our own self. We need to rest in the power of God. That's the only way to be an effective witness. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible teaches us that you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've got to rest in the power of God. We've got to rest in the power of God. And also on this ephod, we made reference to a breastplate. And back in Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 to 29, a lot of detail concerning the breastplate at the front of this apron, I guess you could call it, this ephod, as the Bible calls it. And on this beautiful breastplate that had also interwoven through it strands of gold, were 12 stones, and each of those stones had one of the names of the tribes of Israel. These names rested on the high priest's chest, covering the heart of the high priest. And I'm reminded of the fact that God is love, and love is of God. God's love for us is unfailing. God loves us eternally. God loves us unconditionally. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our faithful God, His love has no limits for us. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm mindful that within this breastplate, as it rested upon the heart of the high priest, close to the heart of God were the people of God. And close to God's heart is the child of God. God has you and I resting upon His heart. God has a special affection for you and I as a child of God. It's wonderful to know that you are loved. Am I right or not? Right. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to know that you are loved. And to know that God loves us and God has us on His heart. God has us close by His heart. I don't know if it's still a practice today, but there was a generation of where ladies would wear a brooch, and within that little brooch, they'd have a picture of those that were very dear to them within that brooch. And conveying that principle of affection being close to their heart. And often within this little brooch, there'll be a little picture of that loved one or those loved ones that are very dear to that person. And that breastplate was resting upon the heart of that high priest and illustrating for you and I that you and I, we have God's affection. We have God's love. He loves us. Praise be to God for that. God loves us unconditionally. He might not love our performance from time to time, but He loves us unconditionally. And He loves us with an eternal love. There is no ending. There is no beginning or ending of God's love. It is full stop blanket over your life and my life as a child of God. God loves you. God loves me. There is no beginning. There is no end. It is absolute. That's how much God loves us. God has us on His heart. But the issue is for you and I, God in His faithfulness loves us, but how much do we love God? How much do we really love God? Note there in Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. Verses 37 to 39. Our Lord was asked, which is the great commandment in the law? Our Lord responded in verse 37 to 39 by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What a profound statement made by the eternal Son of God. A summary of all that the prophets proclaimed. And a summary of all of God's demands within the law is to love God with everything you have. With all your power, with all your might, to love Him with every ounce of virtue you have. And in doing so, you'll have the power to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we're good at loving ourselves. Are we not? That is very natural. It is supernatural to love God. It is supernatural to love others. And Jesus said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. God loves us. God has us on His heart. The question is, do you and I love God? Do we faithfully love God? Give evidence of that love for God. This is the type of love that parents should have for their children. A consistent, faithful love. Likewise between husband and wife. And likewise between the child of God and his Savior and God. Within that breastplate was a pouch. And within that pouch was what was referred to as the Urim and Thummim. Urim means light. Thummim means perfection, maturity, light and perfection. And this Urim and Thummim, whatever they were, most would say two stones, some type of stones. And somehow God supernaturally used these two stones or dices to provide guidance for God's people. And the high priest had the privilege of leading and providing guidance for the people of God using the Urim and Thummim, light and perfection. And I'd like to remind us this evening that our faithful God, our trustworthy, dependable God, promises to provide direction for you and I. He promises to provide guidance. He will use His Word the Word of God. He will use the presence of the Holy Spirit. And God will even use godly counsel to provide guidance. But are we faithful in following that guidance? See, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible teaches us that we are to not to lean on our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord. And for many of us, we've memorized that passage of Scripture. But do we really follow the guidance of God? Are we prepared to follow His guidance? See, our faithful God wants to guide us, desires to direct us. God is not out to keep you and I in the dark. Now, I understand, as a child of God, there are little seasons that we go through periods of darkness. And it's during those times that we need to continue to trust God. But that is the exception, not the rule. The rule is that God leads His dear children along. The Good Shepherd wants to lead us along. And God is faithful to us. His faithfulness is evident in the fact that He wants to provide that guidance. But the issue for you and I is, are we following that guidance? Are we faithful in following that guidance? I'm absolutely convinced if there were more that would follow the guidance of God, we would have more people in the ministry. We wouldn't have room to fill this back wall. I'm absolutely convinced. Because many of God's people have prayed that God will raise up laborers. It's a biblical prayer. But why are there so few laborers? That's the reason why. Many are not following His guidance. God is faithful, promises to guide us. May we be found faithful in following His guidance. That's the lesson of the Urim and Thummim. And below this ephod was a blue garment. It was a full robe. It was made as a full length that rested over the shoulders of the priest, the shoulders of the high priest. And it was completely of blue. Blue is often a color reflecting eternity, heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven into a sinful world to die for your sins, to die for my sins. Blue reminds us of our Lord's origin. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was not of this world. He came from heaven in order to become flesh, in order to provide salvation for you and I. So blue is a reminder of heaven. And in obedience to God the Father, he fulfilled the will of God the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, let's be mindful of those beautiful verses there in Philippians chapter 2. Concerning our Lord's obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Beloved, in obedience to God the Father, Jesus Christ fulfilled His will. He was a faithful ambassador from heaven. Blue reminds us of heaven, the eternal realm. And for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be mindful that we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And note there in the book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, in verse number 11, First Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. See, as a child of God, my citizenship is in heaven. We have an eternal citizenship. We are in robes of blue, so to speak. And that blue garment that high priest wore under the ephod points you and I to heaven concerning our Lord's origin. He came from heaven. And may that encourage us and remind us that, hey, we are strangers, we are pilgrims. And may God help us to wear that blue robe reflecting our citizenship, that our citizenship is in heaven. And we are not of this world. See, that blue robe on that high priest pointed to heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven. And spiritually speaking, that blue robe for you and I in Christ Jesus points us and reminds us that we are pilgrims, that we are strangers in this world, and that our membership, our ownership, our eternal home is heaven and not in this world. May God help us to be faithful ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The blue reminds us of heaven. Does your lifestyle, does your presentation of yourself reflect your heavenly citizenship? In Colossians chapter 3, we are told to set our affections upon things above. Heaven reminds us, blue reminds us of heaven. And may our walk and our talk certainly remind people that, hey, this person's citizenship is of heaven and not of this earth. At the hem of this blue garment was little gold bells sewn at the very hem that went around the garment, and also various colours of pomegranates. Pomegranate is very native to the land of Israel. And when you cut open a pomegranate, you'll find lots and lots of seeds. Full of seeds. They're known to have hundreds of seeds. Just one pomegranate. Each piece, each pomegranate with all of these seeds inside, reflects fruitfulness, potential fruitfulness. And the bells at the hem of this blue garment that the high priest wore, each time he moved, he was heard. He was noticed. In fact, he was watched. And the pomegranate full of seeds reflects the issue of fruitfulness. In fact, within Jewish community, it was traditional on New Year's Day, day that was called Rosh Hashanah. On New Year's Day, the Jewish New Year, that you would eat a pomegranate full of seeds, reflecting fruitfulness. May God give us a fruitful New Year. And it was said that within each pomegranate there are 613 seeds, equating to 613 laws within the Pentateuch. But that's not technically true. There are some variations. But that's what the Jewish people believe, that you'll find within the pomegranate 613 seeds, pointing to the 613 do's and don'ts, fulfilling the Jewish law. But the point I want to make is this, as you and I go about our duties, as we live in the reality of God's presence, see, as the priest moved and served within the temple, he was heard, he was noticed. And may God help us to be mindful of the fact that our God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from God. We are in the presence of God. And our noise goes before Him. Our bells ring before Him. And may God help us in the reality of His presence to be a fruitful people by abiding in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, the Bible teaches us how we can abide in Him. And if we do abide in Him, we will bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. So in the reality of God's presence, as we faithfully abide in Him, we will be fruitful. And that high priest conveyed the principle of fruitfulness with these little pomegranates sown all around the bottom of the garment. Well, beyond that, there was the linen coat beneath that blue coat. And this white linen coat covered the undergarments of the high priest, as it reads there in Exodus chapter 28, verse 39. It was the next covering for the high priest. The undergarments, the breeches, were also made of white linen, conveying the fact that our Lord is spotless from within outwardly. And this is reflected within this garment, this coat, as it's called, in Exodus chapter 28. What about you and I? Are we clean from within? May God help us to be an authentic people. See, God is faithful. He is wholly authentic. God is completely trustworthy. God is completely dependable. He is genuine. He is faithful. And when I think of this coat that was under the blue robe, I'm mindful of the fact that that was to reflect an inner purity beyond just an exterior purity. Not like the Pharisees where that had all the outward actions, but Jesus said, within you are full of dead man's bones. That's a picture of the average child of God. Look good from without, especially within our types of churches. We know how to look good from the outside. We teach you how to look good from the outside. But we can't manufacture holiness and godliness from within. And that's what that linen garment was to reflect, a holiness, a purity from within, outwardly. Authentic, genuine. Our God is authentic, is He not? Our God is genuine. He is truly our God. And may God help us to be a genuine people. Non-hypocritical. Unfeigned. Faith, as it was evident in Timothy, his mother and grandmother. No wonder Timothy turned out right. His mother was authentic Christian. His grandmother was authentic Christian. He witnessed consistency. No surprise that Timothy was also a consistent believer. That's the linen garment, spotless from within. Spotless from within and outward. And how often our Lord Jesus condemned the Pharisees. They looked good from the outside, but within He said, you're just like dead man's bones, of no real value. But upon the high priest He wore a mitre, it was called. It had a gold plate on it. And this rested on the high priest's head, And back in Exodus chapter 28, it makes reference to that, verses 36 to 38. This mitre was made out of pure white linen. Mounted on it was a gold plate which read, "Holiness to the Lord." See, God's holiness is unchangeable. He is holy, and He desires to be known as the Holy God. May God help us to be a holy people. God who is faithful, who is authentic and genuine in His holiness and His purity. And upon that high priest's mitre was the wording, "Holiness to the Lord." And as people watched and observed, and as that high priest ministered, there it was on his forehead, "Holiness to the Lord." And may God help us to have a passion for holiness, because God is holy. Our faithful God is holy. Are we holy? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it talks about that we are to be sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. And last but not least, there was this belt. In the Bible it's called a girdle, that surrounded the garments of the high priest. And this girdle or belt that surrounded the main garments at waist level kept together those sets of garments worn by the high priest. The linen coat, the blue robe, and then the ephod with all the beautiful colouring and the gold lining. So likewise, this girdle, this belt was made out of the same mixture of colours and gold that the ephod was. And it kept all the garments together. It was made from white linen. It had the gold, it had the blue, it had the purple, it had the scarlet interwoven through it. And this belt kept all the garments in order and in control. And I'm reminded of the fact that God is in control. God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. He works with purpose. God is faithful. And I think about that belt that surrounded that high priest, how it kept everything in order, kept everything together. So likewise, our God in His faithfulness keeps everything in order, keeps everything together. Our God is purposeful. That belt had a purpose. It fulfilled a responsibility of keeping those garments tucked in order, so that the priest could move as freely as he could possibly in fulfilling his responsibilities. And it just reminds me of the fact that our God is a faithful God. He knows the beginning from the end. And He's sovereign. God is in control. God is purposeful. And we as the people of God need to faithfully trust in Him. He that holds all things together. God has made all, and of Him all things consist. It's God that keeps everything together. It's God that keeps me together. It's God that will keep you together. It is God that's going to keep us sober. It's God that's going to help us to be effective in His service. It's all of God. God is in control of all things. Do we believe that? I trust you do. I think at times we forget that very fact, that God's in control. Mr. Turnbull's not in control. Thank God for that. And definitely Bill Shorten's not in control. The Queen's not in control of the world. ISIS is in control of the world. God is in control. God is in control. He is that girdle. He is that belt. He holds everything together. God is faithful. God is sovereign. Joseph said before his very brothers, "Hey, you meant for evil. But God meant this for good." Because God's in control. Joseph recognized that, had the faith to see that God was working through all that he went through, through all of those years to preserve the people of God. God is in control. And may God help us to be faithful in trusting in him. We need to rest our faith in God, do we not? He has everything in hand. He will accomplish his purposes. God is faithful. In Jesus Christ, we have access into the presence of God the Father. Because of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus himself, who shed his blood for us, that high priest within the Old Testament economy could only go in once a year. But we in Christ Jesus have been clothed in righteousness. We have open access into the very presence of God. And we can abide in his presence. And in his presence we'll know the reality of his person. And we have access to the reality of his power. Because Jesus Christ is our great high priest. The tabernacle illustrates that very fact. The holies of holies, the very presence of God and the very power of God, and you and I in Christ Jesus, we have access into the very presence of God, and we have access to the very power of God because God is faithful. Praise be to God for that. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, was faithful in providing salvation for us. May God help us this evening to be mindful of the faithfulness of God. Evident within the office of the high priest. And the writer to the Hebrews said, our high priest, Jesus Christ, was faithful. Are we faithful to God in our worship and service? Are we faithful to God in resting in his power? Are we faithful to God in loving him with all of our being? Are we faithful to God in following his guidance? Are we faithful to God as ambassadors for Christ, reflecting that we are citizens of heaven? Are we faithful to God by abiding in him, thereby being fruitful? Are we faithful to God by living a holy life? Are we faithful to God in living a life that is authentic and genuine from within out? And are we faithful to God in walking by faith, knowing that God is in control? And all of God's people said, amen for that. Great is thy faithfulness. May God help us to be faithful, because our God is faithful. And the writer of the Hebrews writes, Jesus Christ, our great high priest, was faithful unto him. Faithful unto who? Faithful unto God the Father, in the fulfillment of what God had called him to do. May God help us to be faithful, to do what God has called us to do, because our God is faithful. Let's bow for prayer.